Good morning, everybody. And yes, it's a real, it's, you know, and it's a privilege to be able to do this, to share the word of God with you. I don't take it for granted. I don't take it lightly. And we will eventually get to one more Sunday in the Old Testament book of Zechariah. And, you know, and as Kevin sang with us, you know, these are the days of a lot. What, I mean, when we look at those types in the Old Testament, and I think, and, you know, as we think about, yeah, we need someone with a spirit of Elijah. We need someone with, the same kind of spirit as David. We need someone like a Moses. We need someone like a Zechariah. And so maybe there are the days of Zechariah too. But anyway, we're going to be landing in chapter 8. So again, that's the second last book of the Old Testament. But what I really want to do this morning, I want to encourage you to get a pen and a piece of paper. Okay. Or you can write these in your Bible as I did, but I want you to just take a moment and get that handy, because I have three references and three questions that are going to come out of this chapter. So, and really they're questions to ask yourself when you get a moment, either later on today or sometime this week. Okay. So find yourself a pen and a paper. I think I mentioned it here in one of my weekly emails, maybe, but when I got a chance a few weeks back to spend a couple of days at a friend's cottage up at Point Clark, and I preached a really good sermon to myself. Yes, right there in the dining room. No other human person, as far as I knew, was there. But anyway, no other human ears to hear it. But boy, I sure wish I recorded it. Well, because I don't know if this morning's is going to be nearly as good as that one was. But anyway, here we go. But before we get to Zechariah and, you know, giving you time to find your pen and paper, okay, this being the Sunday before Valentine's Day, I wanted to say something, and actually Mark has said a lot of what I was thinking of as well, and thanks for tuning into the radio this morning. I appreciate that. But I want to just read a couple verses from the New Testament letter of Galatians chapter 5. So you can turn there first if you wish. Or just jot this reference down to check out later, but it's Galatians 5, verses 13 to 16. And I shared it on Facebook this week on my personal page as well as our church page. But I was thinking about, you know, what Mark shared, and I know Peggy, those of you who came in early, were listening to some of the concerns she has, and it's a difficult time right now. And I was trying to think, And this morning when I was sharing these verses on the show, and I thought about, now you know the story of the Good Samaritan. The whole world knows that story, but you and I don't know the significance, or you and I know the significance more than the world does, right? They just go, oh yeah, the Good Samaritan, it was a good person that helped that poor man that was, you know, left to die there by some robbers. But you and I know that it came in response to a question that someone asked Jesus, right? Like, what's the greatest commandment? And he said, well, love the Lord your God, love your neighbor as yourself. And then he said, well, who's my neighbor? And then Jesus told that story. Now, I was thinking, as we think about what's going on, you know, in Ottawa and at the border in Windsor and out west as well, and I recognize there's two sides to the story. And for the most part, you know, the people protesting, they're, you know, they got a hot tub out there now, and bouncy castles. Like, I get it. They're, you know, but I keep thinking to myself, who are we to be? We are to be ambassadors for Christ. First of all, that's what we're called in the scriptures, ambassadors of Christ, even more than we are ambassadors of Canada. And I was thinking about that story, the Good Samaritan. I thought to myself, well, all right, you and I know the significance. When Jesus said that it was the Samaritan that helped this man, and Jesus said, there's your neighbor, go and do likewise. The Jewish man who asked the question would have went, what? Samaritans? I hate Samaritans. In fact, the Samaritans didn't like the Jewish people either. You're telling me that's my neighbor? What? And I thought to myself this morning, and I wondered if I should even share it. We'll see if I have a job next Sunday, but or on the radio. Well, we'll see if I have a job here next Sunday. But you know, I thought to myself, yeah, who's my neighbor? Listen, did you vote for one of the conservative parties this time around? Your neighbor is Justin Trudeau, Jagmeet Singh. Hey, did you vote Liberal or NDP? Did you know your neighbor is Maxime Bernier? Your new neighbor is going to be Pierre Poilievre. Your neighbor's Doug Ford, by the way. When we think about what's going on, and that has so many of us just so conflicted and at odds, as we've been really for the last couple of years, I wanted to just share Galatians chapter 5, verses 13 to 16. And think about, okay, I'm an ambassador for Jesus. What's God calling me to do? Messing up the border, keeping the stuff from coming over and crippling the auto sector. That's a great way to get your attention. That's a great way to get your point across. But is it God's way? Is it Jesus' way for you and me? That's all, as ambassadors. Now, these words to the people of Jesus, they're from Paul in the first century, wrote them to the church in Galatia. But they hold up well in this year of the Lord 2022, that's for sure. And good to remember on a Sunday before Valentine's Day. I mean, above the, you know, the flowers and the candy, as much as that's nice to get. But I was also thinking, you know, God's love and how important it is to share it. And so and by the way, God's love is available to everybody, no matter what your own personal relationships are or what you wish they might be. This goes beyond that. And it goes to God's love for us. In Galatians chapter 5, like I say, if you want to follow it along or just think about these words, listen to them as I read them. But in verse 13, it says, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. And as Mark mentioned, boy, freedom, that's the word you hear everywhere, right? But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. A lot of biting going on, a lot of devouring. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Again, Galatians 5, verses 13 to 16. I mean, we are free. We sang it in one of the songs that Kevin shared with us there, right? If the sun sets you free in my Father's house, right? If the sun sets you free, you shall be free indeed. Who am I? In Christ, I'm free. And haven't we all had those moments in our lives, especially these last couple of years, right? Maybe you've said or done something you wish you could take back. Have you found yourself lately having to say, I'm sorry, more often than even you usually did as a good Canadian? It is so easy to allow our flesh to rise to the surface. And then as it rises to the surface, it makes a grand exit out of our mouths. As Paul goes on to say in this passage, the acts of the flesh, they're in Galatians 5. They're obvious, obvious. Just turn on your TV set. Don't even have to get out of your pajamas to see it. It is so easy to grieve the Holy Spirit of God. And you know what? I do believe he's grieving. Unless that's just my own grief that I feel, because I feel it. I feel it in my own spirit. And Peggy, when you were sharing those words earlier, boy, I was right with you. Mark, you too. Kevin, you as well. I feel it in my own spirit. You see, it's the price we pay as followers of Jesus, by the way. You and I, one of the burdens that comes from trying to have the same mind as that of Christ, as we're told to do, right? Philippians chapter 2, let this same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. Well, as we strive for that, as we get closer to him, we begin to think and feel as he does. And when you walk by his Spirit, you start becoming sensitive Well, certainly to when his fire within you has been quenched. You become sensitive to when you have hurt him. And by the way, you can only grieve when you first love. I read this the other week. It was in my devotional time last Tuesday. I'm looking at a devotional right now that features the words of A.W. Tozer. Now, there's a name. If you're not familiar with him, you should get familiar with him. Known as a modern-day prophet, A.W. Tozer, he actually spent his last years of ministry in Toronto at the Avenue Road Alliance Church. He died the same year as C.S. Lewis, 1963. He once wrote this. He said, "Because he is loving and kind and friendly, the Holy Spirit can be grieved." He can be grieved because he is loving. And there must be love present before there can be grief. You hear of somebody famous passing away, perhaps, you know, somebody in the news. "Wow, you know, I really liked Betty White. Yeah, boy, I was sad. You know, she passed away just before her 100th birthday. Boy, I always thought she was really funny." But when it's someone you loved, oh, that hurts you in your heart, doesn't it? You don't get over that. Not easily. Maybe never. Oh, you can't love if you don't grieve, or if you don't allow yourself to feel, because I think for some of us, you know, we want to avoid that kind of pain. So, of course, we just build thicker walls around our heart, develop a thick skin, we suck it up. But God doesn't want us to do that either. No, he wants our hearts to remain tender and soft. Now, we'll get to our Old Testament study in Zechariah in just a moment, but it occurred to me this past week, and Mark shared it. John, the beloved apostle, right? He said what could be the most profound three-word sentence ever written. Now, we can all think of, you know, the three words we want to hear on Valentine's Day, but no, I got three other words, and Mark shared it. It's for everybody. Here in Canada, we have freedom of religion. Did you know that? Yes, we actually do. We're just not free to trash somebody else's beliefs, that's all. Now, let me say it here. Jesus Christ is Lord. May we always proclaim that at Generations Community Church. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through him. We say that without wavering. But this past year or so, we've all grieved. Well, we grieved with the discovery of those unmarked graves, for one thing, right? The residential school system. It should always be there to remind us. Now, not the school system itself, but memories of it. We should never forget. This is why you don't erase history, by the way. But we should always remember the residential school system show us that you cannot legislate Christianity. I'm beginning to wonder, you know, just how many people there are that go to good Bible-believing churches that have never actually met Jesus. Oh, they got the text. They got the words. But do they have the Spirit? You cannot make somebody a follower of Jesus. You can put them on a roll somewhere, you know, write their name in a membership card, but you might even be able to make them behave themselves a little bit, but you can't change the hearts. You can only hope that here in Canada, the people in power, the people that we are free to vote in, you can hope that they'll allow everybody to freely practice their own forms of worship and beliefs in peace. They still have to look over the whole country, but may we be able to practice our beliefs freely, right? We can't violate anybody else's freedom. We have to always be willing to give an answer for the hope that we have, right? As Peter told us to do, but we have to always do that with gentleness and respect. And I don't see that a whole lot sometimes in some of the circles that I travel in. Now, most religions will often say, "Our God is a loving God." Oh, yes, he wants us to love. In fact, some form of the golden rule, right? Love your neighbor as yourself, treat others as you would like to be treated. That's the one. Some form of that golden rule exists in pretty much every one of the major belief systems in the world. I mean, even atheists will tell you we should all treat everybody like we'd like to be treated. But only the Christian religion has those three words that Mark shared with us this morning. From John 4:16, God is love. Not just God is loving. No, God is love. He's love itself at its highest level. It's his very essence. Who he is at his deepest level, as if any one of us could ever reach that. But the closer we get to him, the more time we spend in his word, not just finding ammunition for a spitting contest with our fellow Christians, but to learn of him, to pray for his spirit to control our renegade hearts, well, then we're going to better reflect that love. Well, if you remember, it's from Galatians 5, that the first fruit of the Spirit listed there, right? Love. The greatest of these, as it says in 1 Corinthians 13, the greatest of these is love. So happy Valentine's Day tomorrow. And however you feel when February 14th comes around, you can know this love that surpasses knowledge, far more solid than any human expression of it, and how that love will affect how you live in, well, especially right now, the world needs to see some real ambassadors for Christ. Canada needs to see it. Well, for today, February 13th, did you find your pen and paper? And did you find Zechariah chapter 8? Okay, here we go. Zechariah, I got to make sure I found it. Zechariah chapter 8. And like I say, just read these to myself and then preached to myself. But the first words there in Zechariah 8, he says, "The word of the Lord Almighty came to me. This is what the Lord Almighty says. I'm very jealous for Zion. I'm burning with jealousy for her." Now, by the way, it's kind of interesting that there is a righteous kind of jealousy. It's not always sinful. But you can't have it in a righteous way unless you love first, as God does, as God did here, right? This is what the Lord says. "I will return to Zion. Behold, he comes riding on the clouds. I will dwell in Jerusalem." Zion, kind of another word for Jerusalem, kind of talking about the hills of Jerusalem there. He said, "Then Jerusalem will be called the faithful city, and the mountain of the Lord Almighty will be called the holy mountain. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Once again, men and women of ripe old age will sit in the streets of Jerusalem, each of them with cane in hand because of their age. The city streets will be filled with boys and girls playing there, the old and the young." Wow. Now, how often do we try to separate those, even in church, eh? How often do we ignore them? You know, Sue was talking about looking after her mother. The elderly need special care, don't they? Yep. But how many of us have said, well, you know, old people, they're old, right? Yeah. Right? As for children, well, you know, better seen and not heard, right? Have you heard about that new, I think it's a Canadian TV show that's out right now, right? It's already becoming quite popular. It's called Children Ruin Everything. Now, I'm just thinking to myself, okay, those of us who go back, you know, we maybe watched the Brady Bunch or the Partridge Family, or maybe you grew up watching Family Ties, or I don't know, all those different kinds of shows, Father Knows Best. Can you imagine, though, now being a kid growing up? And, oh, my parents were watching Kids Ruin Everything. Children Ruin Everything. I used to sneak down the hallway to watch the Flintstones, right? Now, by the way, children don't ruin everything. I've learned so much from children. Jesus says we even need to become more like them. And I have learned a lot of wisdom from people who are older. So there must be a place in the family of God for all generations. Generations. Hey, you know, whoever did come up with the name for this church, yeah, that's a good name. That's a good name. God is an all ages kind of God. But then I got my first question when I read verse 6. So Zechariah 8 and verse 6. This is what the Lord Almighty says. "It may seem marvelous to the remnant of this people at that time, but will it seem marvelous to me?" declares the Lord Almighty. And my first thought was, well, wait a minute. Why wouldn't God find that marvelous? Why wouldn't God be in favor of that? Young and old enjoying each other, thriving in the city of Jerusalem. Why wouldn't he find that marvelous? And then I did a little bit of study, of course. I realized that this is really just a bit of an awkward way to translate this verse. The word marvelous, it's in our English Bibles. It's a Hebrew verb. It means to do something wonderful, to do something extraordinary or difficult. Getting all the generations together. Well, that's... But is anything too difficult for God? Although they may be beyond the abilities of people to do or comprehend, nothing surprises God. Nothing catches him off guard. He can make it happen. And the word he used, he used this verse, a word in verses like 1 Chronicles 16, where it says, remember the wonders he has done, his miracles, the judgments he pronounced. Psalm 9 says, I will give thanks to you, Lord, with all my heart. I will tell of all your wonderful deeds. We may marvel, but God is just doing what God does. So, of course, this is his desire, and he will someday bring this and every prophetic word to pass in his time. But I still had a question as I read this verse. So, you want to write down the reference? Zechariah 8 and verse 6. Here's the question. Do I enjoy what God enjoys? Zechariah 8, verse 6. Do I enjoy what God enjoys? Right? Do the things I spend my time at, things I promote, are they pleasing to him? Well, I may not be able to figure out all of his marvelous ways, but will I still rest in the knowledge that his ways are always best? Do I value both young and old, and the ages in between, by the way? Do I value the contribution that every generation makes in my life? So, question number one, reference to write down. Zechariah 8 and verse 6, do I enjoy what God enjoys? And then the second question I wrote down that day, it came from verse 13. Again, speaking of a future time, but Zechariah 8 and verse 13, it says there, just as you, Judah and Israel, have been a curse among the nations, so I will save you, and you will be a blessing. Do not be afraid, but let your hands be strong. Now, this verse will have its complete fulfillment in a future day. He's encouraging them, as we mentioned there, to last Sunday, right? To go ahead, you go rebuild that temple, right? That's the context. God says in verse 11 that he will not deal with the remnant of his people as he did in the past. He's calling them back from captivity, from being scattered. Verse 12 says, the seed will grow well. The vine will yield its fruit. The ground will produce its crops, and the heavens will drop their dew. I will give all these things as an inheritance to the remnant of this people. A golden age is coming on the earth for the children of Israel and for all nations. Just as you, Judah, and Israel have been a curse among the nations, so I will save you, and you will be a blessing. He saved us to be a blessing. Well, I found myself asking question number two, Zechariah 8 and verse 13. Am I a blessing to people? Am I a blessing to people? When people see me coming, do they say, oh, great, it's him again? Or do they say, oh, great, it's him again? You've heard about people who light up a room when they enter it, right? Oh, you know, there are people who light up a room when they leave it. I was thinking, and actually I was sitting there in the cottage thinking about this, because it goes back to the, it goes back almost 50 years. Well, in the mid-70s, I worked part-time at the Woolco department store in Stony Creek. Anybody remember Woolco? W-O-O-L-C-O, Woolco, right? Yeah. And by the way, you didn't even need Costco, because every month, first Monday of each month, was $1.44 day at Woolco. Man, you could buy all the toilet paper you could eat. But the manager, oh, sorry, paper towels. You'd rather eat those, I'm sure. Anyway, oh no, there were big bags of chips, everything for $1.44. Now, the manager of the Wilco department store was a man by the name of Mr. Bittner. Now, I think we even called him Mr. Bitter. Well, not to his face, of course, but I mean, if he dared smile, I mean, it would have actually cracked his, or he would have chipped a tooth. Now, we used to have staff parties at the store. Now, this is before I was a Christian. I probably wouldn't do the sorts of things that I used to do back in the early 70s. But Mr. Brittner, of course, never came to any of the staff parties. But one time at near Christmas, and I think it was at somebody's house, Mr. and Mrs. Bittner came to the party. Mr. Bittner was still wearing a suit, right? That was very uncomfortable, right? Here we are, all us young people, you know, sitting there twiddling our thumbs. Oh, are we having a nice time? Oh, yeah. Should we put some music on? No, that's too loud. We're we're just having a nice time, aren't we? Yeah. And finally, because Mr. Bittner, he knew it too. He said, well, I believe maybe Mrs. Bittner and I ought to go home now so you young people can have some fun. Oh, no, stay. No. We were, yes, please, right? I mean, I felt bad for him. He was the boss, right? He couldn't be our buddy, right? Now, I'm sure he was different around his kids or his grandkids. And by the way, he was good to me. I got in trouble one time. A friend of mine and I, we were hired to put in a couple extra hours each week cleaning the store overnight. So they had to let us in. We had a security guard let us in and let us out again. We cleaned the store overnight. My friend, though, stole something. In fact, he, from the menswear department, as I recall, put it on and then put his coat over top. I knew he had stolen something, but I didn't report it. Now, somehow it was found out. I don't know how, but I remember being called into Mr. Bittner's office. He was very disappointed in me. He said, Pat, I was really hoping for better things from you. By the way, your friend has been fired. But for some reason, Mr. Bittner let me keep my job. I don't know. And in fact, it wasn't too long after, he let me know that he did trust me again. Yes, he handed me the keys to his car. He said, would you mind moving my car over to the other side of the parking lot? Now, Mr. Bittner drove a 1973 Pontiac Parisienne Brougham. Now, if you look it up on Google Images, it is the RMS Titanic. I mean, it was this huge car, and I'm like all of 5 foot nothing, right? So there I am. Oh, don't scratch Mr. Bittner's car. But he trusted me with his car, his big Pontiac. I could barely see over the hood. Like I say, he was the boss. And that can be lonely for sure. A lot of responsibility. But nobody felt comfortable around Mr. Bittner. You know, there are some people that will just take the air out of the whole room when they show up. Others, they're like an open window on a stuffy day, right? They bring refreshment. So, application time here. What about you? What about me? Am I a blessing to people? That's question number 2 from Jeremiah 8 and verse 13. And it ties in actually with the first question back at verse 6, right? Do I enjoy what God enjoys? Do I find joy being in his presence, striving to serve and obey him? It ties in because the more we do that, the greater the blessing we will be to those around us, right? You know what it's like when you've been around somebody that really seems to know God? Oh boy, it rubs off. It rubs off on us. And in fact, that rubs off on us. Paul tells us in the New Testament, in 2 Corinthians 3, verses 17 and 18, since you got your pen right there. 2 Corinthians 3, 17 and 18, it says, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. There it is again, right back to where we started this morning. And we all, with unveiled faces, contemplate or reflect the Lord's glory, and we're being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. The more we spend time with him, well, the more we begin to look a little more like him. Be careful of what or who you emulate or idolize, for you will become more like them. So, questions to ask yourself. Number one, Jeremiah 8, verse 6, do I enjoy what God enjoys? Number two, Jeremiah 8, verse 13, am I a blessing to people? And then our third and final question comes from the last verse of the chapter. And again, speaking of a future day, God's kingdom is going to come in complete fullness when Jesus Christ reigns on the earth as King of kings and Lord of all the nations. Verse 23, this is what the Lord Almighty says. In those days, 10 people from all languages and nations will take firm hold of one Jew by the hem of his robe and say, let us go with you, because we have heard that God is with you. You know, in our Bible study a couple weeks back, remember we learned about the woman who said, oh, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be healed. If I can just get close to that person, they know God, I will get closer to God too. So, as you write these down, question number three, Jeremiah 8 and verse 23, do I attract people to God? Do I attract people to God? You know, so many are being turned off by what they witness these days. Yep, the anger they're seeing. And I've mentioned it before that these are stereotypes, right? A lot of the things that we see, they're stereotypes for the most part. I really believe most of us desire to reflect the glory and Spirit of God as we go about our everyday life. But the images are there, aren't they? Online, on the news. And we need to commit all the more to living counter to the growing culture now of hate and bigotry. We got to grow counter to that. And so many other negative, sinful things all around us in these last, especially in these last number of years. And not looking like it's going to change anytime soon. Our country needs the influence of the people of God. Well, I know I don't do it too often, but some people really enjoy hearing a three-point sermon. So there you were. This was one of them. Ask yourself this. Review them sometime. Review these questions. Maybe later today, sometime before the week is over. Just sit down and ask these three questions from Zechariah chapter 8. Verse 6, do I enjoy what God enjoys? Verse 13, am I a blessing to people? Verse 23, do I attract people to God? And may the Lord continue to bless us all in our pursuit of him and the things that will bring him pleasure and benefit the people around us. Father, I just want to pray for a moment. And I thank you so much. As I look over these little boxes here and I see faces, I see names, and I see some wonderful people here. People who are making a difference in their life. We recognize we're a small group. We're a small group. But Lord, as we learned, who dares despise the day of small things? So Father, I pray a special blessing for every person here. For those of us maybe who aren't here today, maybe they get a chance to listen to this later online. I don't know, but Lord, be with them. Be with us all and help us. Help us to become the kind of people you really want us to be. Help us to encourage each other, build one another up, bear each other's burdens. That's the way of Christ. That's the way he told us to walk in. Give us courage and strength and grace and love to walk in that. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you.